You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
All right. Welcome, Captivate and Patreon people. This is our bonus question for our Avatar Season 1, Book 1, Water. Here with Christian and Kino. You got the whole crew once more. And we're going to answer this question. You're going to hear what our favorite episode of Book 1 is and why. It's a pretty simple question, as Christian and I were talking about earlier. Pure sarcasm. This is a great show. How do you pick a favorite episode? And so I'm going to have Christian and Kino answer it first.
Okay. It's so hard to pick. Minus the one we mentioned before. Probably, I don't know if there are many Great Divide fans out there. And if you are, we still love you. God still died for you in Jesus. There's forgiveness. But it's okay. Me, I mean, this may be what some people might think of as an easy answer, but it's the Blue Spirit.
Mm.
And it gives that moment for Zuko to fight for something more than himself, to actually spend time with Aang, learn who he is as a person without like the whole nothing's given up until the very end is when I think Aang figures out who he actually is. And it's just like Zuko learning to care more than just what he desires, his own personal honor. Like, can he allow the Avatar to be in the hands of Admiral Zhao? No, because he knows what's going to happen to him there. And there's that moment of, oh, I'm also doing this for me, but it doesn't end that way.
Yeah. And the fact that Aang being his enemy and also his key to being closer with his father, all those complex things, ends up saving his life, you know,
yes,
at the end, which is just adds
which
to that.
Which is embarrassing. It's embarrassing as yeah, as a Fire Nation prince. That's embarrassing. Okay.
It's a beautiful episode because it sets up a lot of seeds that are going to be planted away, mm-hmm, you know, and grown later on.
Oh yeah, and a lot of people talk. So like a lot of people, sorry, Brian Konietzko and Mike D, the co-creators of the show, have talked about the different cultural influences that have come in and how the Fire Nation is based off Imperial Japan. And so, and then of course, mm-hmm, the air nomads are based on like Tibetan Buddhism cultures. And so you've got this Imperial Japanese, like very rough, very rigid martial arts system, rigid society, industrial production, and how it's used for dominating ends. And the nomads are the exact opposite. And so when you've got this exact opposite of Aang, who's like, I don't kill anything, and also I dodge things and redistribute energy for when I fight, to this rigid, dominating person, it's just a perfect yin and yang moment.
Yeah, and not only that, but I hate to make it this simple, but you have fire and air in
Booyah,
the same space.
Booyah.
Which can either diminish the fire or cause it to get hotter or explode.
Ooh. Ooh.
Depending on what type of air it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a good episode. That's a good episode. So to piggyback off what you talked about, Christian, I'm gonna go, I think it's a couple of episodes before that, and I'm gonna pick the waterbending master.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Which is now, I don't remember all the stuff that happened in this episode, but I do believe that this is the episode where Katara faces what was the guy's name? I can't even remember the master.
I only remembered it because I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. What was his name? What was his name?
Paku.
Paku, yep. And her arguing with him, and he noticing the little necklace, talking about, wait, I know you. That's mine. She's like, no, it's not. And to see how those two come together, and what I like really about this episode, and this I'm talking about Katara,
yeah,
is she does not stand down for anybody. She will fight for herself and those that she cared for, which is a great, great attribute to have in anyone. That she believes was right is right, and it should always be right, no matter who you are or what it is. And so for her to go to Paku and be like, I'm here to learn too, you're like, you can't learn. And she fought him. She fought him. She fought him. Even though she knew she was going to lose, she didn't care. She was like, I don't care. I'm going to fight you. You're wrong. I don't care. That type of fighting spirit, we see, funny enough, we see it in Korra, the last airbender. Like, we see it in the grandkids. We see it, that same fighting spirit in the grandkids that came up. And that's so that's my favorite episode.
It's a great one. You know, and I think it speaks to, oh, go ahead, Christian. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's set up in that way in your typical 80s, 90s cartoon would have been. This is the, you know, girls can be just as good as boys episode. Mm-hmm. And it starts that way, but she loses in the end against him because guess what? She's not as strong as a master. But what she does is through her ingenuity and her toughness and earnestness, she starts to earn his respect. Mm-hmm. And he starts to change some of his ways. He's not like fully converted to the idea of, you know, all women in this situation can be taught the same things I was taught. But there's a start. It's a spark.
Mm. Yeah, I think it, and it speaks to just how Katara is almost like this ideal embodiment of what it means to be a waterbender, where she's, I think part of it too, is that she's this caring, healing person, right? But on the other end, she is this fighter who just goes. So you've got this push and pull, right? Going, making a reference to the moon and ocean spirit there, Tui and La. That there's this, you know, Katara is that perfect embodiment of that. And, you know, speaking of Tui and La, my favorite episode is the Siege of the North Part 2. It's the season finale. We just get to see so much growth and change, and we just get to see like the volcanic eruption of all of the elements that have been just kind of boiling for all of our characters, where we have Sokka, you know, and Yue's relationship, you know, even Yue, who we've spent only a little bit of time with, show this great maturity and sacrifice. We get to see, you know, Sokka also become this put aside some of his childish things and start to mature. You know, Katara take leadership, Aang, you know, doing the same thing. And then, of course, spiritually transcending, like meeting that next level after the moon spirit dies. We get to see Iroh for the first time, really. You know what I mean? Like, we
let it out.
Because he's been kind of this goofy guy with a little bit of wisdom here and there. But then he's like, oh, no, Iroh's for real. Like, this is for real. There's just so many things that come together, and we get the seeds, and it's just worth the wait. And it's a perfect transition into the next book. You know, I could just spend forever on that episode. I probably returned to those two episodes, the Siege Part 1 and 2 in season 1, more than any other episode. I just love those episodes. Yeah.
Those episodes, it gives us a glimpse of what war was and is like in that world too.
Hey, like, absolutely.
We get to see like how scary and devastating it can be, and sacrificial in terms of the things that go on with the fights. And Yue giving up her spirit to be the moon spirit again. Gosh. And I remember watching that and like, man, I can't wait till the next one.
Oh yeah.
it's such an awesome setup for the rest of the series. Like you would honestly think that it wouldn't get no higher after that, but it did. Like, every book went higher and higher. And it went lower and lower and deeper and deeper. That because you would think that, man, this can't be. This there's nothing else that could do it. No, there's more. There's more. Gosh, there's more to this world. There's more to this world. What was the master again? Paku. Just a silly question, but this is also just a teaser for the Patreons that especially hasn't watched this. Isn't he a part of the White Lotus?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's him, Bumi, Zhang, and someone else.
Iroh, thank you.
Of course, Iroh.
And then, actually, what's his face? Sokka's sword master.
Sokka's master.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the sword guy.
That's right. Pian Dao. It's been so long.
You're like right there. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode's super important too for like setting up the spirit world side of things more. Like, we get hints earlier in the seasons. Mm. There's more going on here, and we get our moon spirit. We get the hubris of Zhao finally bringing him down.
Yes.
And like it's all for nothing. He fails utterly at everything he set out to do. His entire fleet wiped out. Mm. He is dead. Well, we learn really what happens to him later on in Korra, yeah. I think, if I remember correctly. And no one cares. Like, he's giving this big speech, like, I'm the best. I'm the greatest. I'm Zhao the Invincible. And Momo, like, literally ruins his whole purpose there. It's messing with this. Like, he has no dignity at all left in this episode.
Yeah. It's not fair to choose.
Yeah.
But hard choices were made. And they were awesome choices.
Other stuff too, like, we meet Ko the Face Stealer in this episode, don't we?
Yes, and we do.
Talk about something we never see again in the show proper. Like, how terrifying was that for you? It's like, if I make a face, it's gone.
Yeah.
And yet Aang keeps his composure there. That's like, oh, good for you, buddy. I would have failed utterly.
You know, for those of you too who need more Avatar and haven't watch Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Legend of Korra. There's comics, and you actually get to see Ko the Face Stealer again in the first.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's very good. Well, hard choices were made by very handsome, good-looking hosts, and we did it. We made it to the end of book one. So thanks for being here, everyone. We will see you on our next episode, and hopefully maybe all three of us will be back for book two. Earth.
Oh yeah.
Let's do it.
Peace out, everybody.
This was an Anna's Isle Ministries podcast. If you enjoyed this show and would like to learn more about our network, be sure to check out the Anna's Isle Ministries podcast network.